All right, hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive with us. You know, I love it when we get to tackle these really big questions. And today, we're going deep, like way deep into the whole mystery of why bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, it's a question that has haunted humanity for, well, pretty much forever, I guess.
Definitely. And it's one that's still just as relevant today as it was, thousands of years ago when the Book of Job was written. And that's what we're diving into today. Job, some really insightful scholarly excerpts, and the whole idea of theodicy, trying to make sense of a loving God in a world where, frankly, there's just a lot of suffering.
It's a tough one, no doubt about it.
So maybe just to kind of set the stage for people, let's start with Job himself. This is a guy who, according to the story, was totally righteous, like the model of virtue, and then bam, he loses everything. I mean, we're talking family, wealth, health, like the worst case scenario.
Yeah, he gets hit with everything all at once. It's pretty intense when you read it.
And of course, when something like that happens, it just makes you question everything, right? Like,
Yeah.
where is God in all of this? How can a good God allow this kind of suffering?
Exactly. And that's where the whole concept of divine justice comes into play. If God is just, if God is good, then why do bad things happen to good people? It just doesn't seem to add up.
And it's not just us asking those questions either, right?
Ugh.
Job's friends in the story, they're wrestling with this too.
Oh, absolutely. They're trying to figure it out just as much as Job is, but their explanations, well, let's just say they don't exactly hit the mark.
Yeah, they kind of come across as a little, I don't know, judgmental maybe. Like they're trying to find some reason, some fault in Job to explain away his suffering.
Yeah, and that's actually a pretty common trap that people fall into, even today, this need to attribute suffering to some personal failing, like somehow you deserved it.
It's like we want to believe that there's some kind of order to the universe, that if you're good, good things will happen, and if you're bad, bad things will happen.
Right, it's this kind of simplistic cause and effect view of theodicy that the Book of Job actually ends up challenging. Because Job, according to the story, he hadn't done anything to deserve this.
So, if it's not about this direct link between sin and suffering, what is the Book of Job suggesting? Like, what are we supposed to take away from it?
Well, one of the key things that comes through for me is this idea that God's ways are just, they're beyond our full comprehension. Like, we can't possibly understand the whole picture.
Okay, so it's like saying there's a reason for everything, even if we don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, in one of the sources I was reading, there's this line that really stuck with me. It says, God can work all things, good and evil, for good. And that's a pretty bold statement,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. But if I'm being honest, it's also a little hard to swallow sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, are they saying we should just blindly accept suffering no matter what?
No, I don't think it's about blind acceptance. It's more about recognizing the limits of our understanding. Like, we as humans, we tend to think in very linear terms, cause and effect. But God, well, God operates on a whole other level.
Okay, I can see that. But still, when you're the one going through something awful, it's got to be hard to see the bigger picture, right? So, like, what about Job? How does he handle all this?
Yeah, he goes through a whole range of emotions, anger, grief, despair. He even directly questions God, like, hey, what's going on here? Why me? It's actually pretty raw and honest.
It's interesting that you bring that up, this whole idea of questioning God. Does that suggest it's okay to have doubts, even within faith?
It's a tricky question, right? Like, where's the line between faith and doubt? But Job's story, it definitely doesn't shy away from those tough questions, those difficult emotions. It shows us that it's okay to wrestle with those things.
It's like he's going through a really intense spiritual crisis. But you said he directly questions God, so what happens? Does God answer him, give him some kind of explanation?
Well, not exactly. At least not in the way that Job might have expected.
Oh, so this is going to be good. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Well, that's a great place to pick up after a quick break. So, where we left off was this whole idea of Job questioning God, and well, God does respond, but not with a straightforward answer like you might expect.
Okay, so what happens? Does God show up in like a whirlwind or something?
Well, not literally, but there is this really powerful moment where God speaks to Job directly. But instead of explaining Job's suffering, God kind of flips the script and starts asking Job all these questions about creation.
Questions like what?
Like, can Job control the stars? Can he create a universe? Things like that. It's almost like God is saying, look, Job, you're focused on your little corner of the world, but I'm dealing with the big picture here.
Oh, wow. That's got to be humbling. So does Job have like a comeback for that?
Not really. What happens is that Job realizes, like, he's way out of his depth here. He can't possibly grasp the full extent of God's plan, and he repents for questioning God.
So it's not that he suddenly understands why he's suffering, mm-hmm. but he kind of surrenders to the mystery of it all.
Exactly. And I think that's a really key point. It's not about getting all the answers, but about learning to trust, even when we don't understand.
It's got to be tough, though, right? Like, to go through all that pain and still not know why.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. But the story seems to suggest that faith isn't about having all the answers, but about trusting in something bigger than ourselves, even when it doesn't make sense.
Okay, so that's kind of where Job lands, this place of acceptance. But what about his friends? Do they ever come around?
Well, the book doesn't really go into detail about what happens to them, but the focus really shifts to Job's transformation. And there's actually another really interesting character who chimes in at some point during all this.
Okay, who's that?
Well, it's this young guy who's been kind of quietly observing this whole debate between Job and his friends. And he finally speaks up and he basically calls everyone out.
Like, tells them they're all wrong.
Pretty much, yeah. He's like, you guys are all trying to explain God, but none of you really get it. And he points out that God is sovereign.
Okay, for people who might not be familiar with that term, what does sovereignty mean in this context?
It means that God is ultimately in control. Like, God has the power and authority over everything. And this young guy, he's basically saying that it's not our place to question God's plans, but to trust in them.
So it's less about asking why and more about, like, what now?
Yeah, and it's interesting because his perspective actually kind of foreshadows God's own response to Job later on. It's this idea of recognizing our limitations and surrendering to something greater than ourselves.
That's a pretty powerful message, especially when you're dealing with something really difficult.
And I think it's a message that's still relevant today. We live in a world where we're constantly trying to control things to make sense of everything. But sometimes the most important thing we can do is just let go and trust.
Okay, so we've talked about Job's journey, his friends, this wise young guy. But I'm curious, at the end of it all, does Job ever get a break? Like, after all that suffering, does the book offer any sense of hope?
It does, in a way. In the final chapters, God restores Job's fortunes. He gets twice the wealth he had before, new children, a long and healthy life. It's kind of a happy ending, at least on the surface.
Well, that's good, right? I mean, after everything he went through, he deserves a little good fortune.
Absolutely. But the thing is, the book never really explains why Job suffered in the first place.
So even though things turn out okay for Job, the whole mystery of his suffering is never really resolved.
Right. And I think that's what makes the ending so powerful and maybe a little frustrating, too. It's like the book is saying we may never get all the answers. Sometimes we just have to trust that there's a bigger picture that we can't see.
Man, that's a lot to take in. And I think you're right. Sometimes faith is about living with the questions, not finding all the answers.
And that's where those different theodicy arguments we talked about earlier come in. Like, the free will defense might say that Job's restoration doesn't negate his suffering because it was a consequence of choices made within a world where free will exists. It gets complicated.
It definitely does. And it makes me wonder, you know, we've been talking about all these philosophical ideas, but how does this apply to us? Like, what can we learn from Job's story and bring into our own lives?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Like, how do we take these ancient ideas and make them relevant to our modern lives?
Well, lucky for us, we've got a whole other segment to unpack that. So stick around, because we're diving even deeper into the book of Job and what it means for us today. Okay, so we're back. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground here, talking about the book of Job, theodicy, different ways of looking at suffering. But before we wrap up this whole deep dive, I kind of want to leave you with something, like a question to really chew on.
Yeah, something to maybe even challenge your thinking a bit.
Exactly. So picture this. You're in Job's shoes, right? You've lost everything, your family, your wealth, your health. I mean, you're going through the worst possible scenario. The question is, could you still hold on to faith?
Like, could you still believe in a loving God when it seems like everything is falling apart?
It's a tough one, right? And I think we can all relate to that feeling in some way. Maybe not on the same scale as Job, but we all have those moments where life just throws us a curveball.
Those times when you're like, what's the point of it all? Why is this happening?
Exactly. And it's in those moments that the book of Job, I think, it really speaks to us. It's like it's saying, hey, it's okay to question. It's okay to doubt. It's okay to not have all the answers.
And more than that, it's about finding strength and faith, even when we don't understand what's going on.
Right. It's not about pretending everything's fine, but about acknowledging the pain, the confusion, the anger, all of it.
And yet still believing that there's something more, some purpose to it all, even if we can't see it right now.
So maybe it's not about finding all the answers, but about learning to be okay with the questions. To trust that even in the darkest of times, there's still hope. There's still a light to guide us through.
And you know, like Job, we might even come out of those tough times stronger. Our faith tested, sure, but refined.
Yeah, our understanding deepened. Maybe not unscathed, but definitely more resilient, more compassionate.
And I think that's what we can take away from the book of Job. It doesn't give us easy answers, but it gives us a way to think about suffering that's, you know, more nuanced, more hopeful.
It encourages us to really engage with those big questions, to grapple with these different ideas about theodicy, and ultimately to find our own way through it all.
And to remember that even when things are tough, even when we don't understand, there's always hope.
So much to think about, so much to explore. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the book of Job. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep the conversation going.
And most importantly, keep the faith.